With that, we hand it over to our illustrious first speaker, Dalibor Topic.
Yeah, hello and welcome from myself as well. Let's see, the microphone that works, yeah. So my name is Dalibor Topic. I work at Oracle. And I don't need a mic.
You're a little bit staticky.
I'm staticky. Oh, yeah, I'm like metal. Yeah, metal. Metal. Okay, better?
No.
That's just my voice. Right, so I work at Oracle as a product manager on OpenJDK. I also tend to wear many other hats in the OpenJDK community, like that of a JDK updates maintainer. So I'll be giving the presentation following right after this one on how the JDK updates have evolved across the past decade. But for this one, let's get started in the interest of time. 4 years ago, our story took a little turn. Mark Reinhold gave this talk, or a version of that from 4 years ago, on the state of the OpenJDK in the Free Java Dev Room at Foston. While Mark couldn't join us this week, he graciously offered me the opportunity to actually present the talk as I would give it after 4 years later. So my version has now to cover not just 1 year, as the tradition demands, but 4 years of development of OpenJDK. For better or worse, I think for better, I don't get four times as much time, so I just have about 20 minutes, so be very compressed, and I'll leave the fun parts out for other people to cover in this room. But almost exactly 4 years ago, the World Health Organization declared the novel coronavirus outbreak a public health emergency of international concern, their highest level of alarm. And while this development, at least for me at the time, and probably to most of you, might not have seemed very concerning while we were here in Brussels, well, it turned out that in the following weeks and months and even years, the pandemic and our response to it disrupted both the regular life and the supply chains. And for us, for the OpenJDK thing in particular, it came at an inopportune moment because we were in the middle of making JDK 14 back in September 2019. We had planned to release JDK 14 on March 17th of 2020. And so, boom, all of a sudden everything changes. Because we had actually planned to have release candidates in February and then release in March. And as you may well remember, March 2020 was quite something. Man, that was something. It was quite disruptive for many people in many ways. But what wasn't surprising was that we actually delivered JDK 14 as predicted in September right on time. Just as we had planned on March 17th, just like every JDK release since, we had switched over to this new release cadence of having a release that's predictable and time-driven every 6 months. That switch was performed 2 years prior to that, back in 2018, with JDK 10. And then it led to much better results than the way the JDK development used to be prior to that, with longer development cycles that are less predictable and tended to deliver less, let's say, reliable results in terms of actual release dates. And of course, you can now say, well, sure, of course you did release on time, because what was left to do was just to polish your release candidates to perfection, as you always do. How hard could it possibly be? Well, it's not so easy. So we actually, in our nine-month development cycle of the JDK releases, we leave 3 months to the polishing part, the ramp down and actually fixing the release down, whereas the first 6 months are devoted to developing the features and all the new bug fixes that come in. And so we leave ourselves enough time to actually get to a really high degree of quality. So while there's probably a kernel of truth to saying there wasn't that much left to do, there is a lot more to it, because as we look at how we delivered the rest of the remaining 4 years releases, they also all came in on time during the ups and downs of the pandemic and supply chains and what else was going on in the world. So there's actually quite more to it than just the fortune's favor of the bold or the brilliant, or how you want to put this. So as my colleague Brian Goetz said in his DevOps keynote from last year, the bad old days, as we now call them, but they were the good old days back when we were still in the middle of them, They had a very constrained feature box release model. So it took us 2 years to 4 years between releases. And just this little fact tells you how flexible that was, because that's double the time sometimes, depending how bad things go. We had frequent delays. There used to be like a running joke sometimes in papers about delayed releases. And we had no predictability. The release management process had to be very heavyweight to accumulate for that. And we had a lot of temptation because of that, the release is shipping every few years, to push in changes that just had to be there. And so that led to tweaking of the arms to get things in sometimes. And also because users wanted these features, not just in the latest release, but on the releases they were using, to tweak the arms of the backports, Steam's release managers, to get them backported. So we had these huge releases that came out and then kept getting major feature updates every 6 months. Not just bug fixes, but really big, huge features like new garbage collectors and stuff. So that's a lot of work, but it wasn't really working too well for anybody. It wasn't working well for us, because it introduced this, it had these massive overheads. It wasn't working too well for the developers and the community out there either, because Java developers were getting frustrated by the pace of Java's development. And by the time it took to go from one release to the next to get the major features, while all around them, the world was exploding with excitement around Groovy, Scala, all right, yeah, Perl 5, come on. Things happened back like 10 years ago, so it was an exciting time for Java. And so the excessive backports also ended up being a problem for the backporting project, because we ended up having to do a lot of work to get new features in and to shuffle things around. Whereas with the new model, we changed things a bit and decided to just focus on backporting what really matters, which is security fixes and critical fixes, and the rest we'll leave up to people who really want to do the work. So to do that, we first inquired to see what actually we want and what we need. The developers tend to want the latest and greatest features. They tend to want the language changes, the VM changes, the performance fixes, all the good stuff, right? Whereas our many Java users tend to be conservative business users, right? And so they tend to favor and appreciate stability and security. And they tend to want to have their investment they've made in the platform 2, 3, 5 years ago pay off and keep paying off for a few more years as they had planned. And so it's hard to make these very different goals, hard to fulfill them at the same time. So the old model basically didn't make either developers too happy nor the enterprises too happy. The new model we adopted with this release cadence is a tip and tail model, as George and Brian and others on our team like to call it, where all the features that we develop are integrated on the tip of the development. So they're done where development happens, right? Where the action is. And they're integrated only when they're ready, and only when they're ready. So we resist the temptation to pull something in just because it's got to get out there, man. We pull it only in when it's actually fully baked, and we believe it's actually done and good enough. And to actually get to a point where it's good enough sooner, we introduced the concept of feature previews, for example, where a feature can then get gradually improved and refined until it's actually fully part of the platform. And so that takes a lot of the pressure out from getting code and features into JDK, because if you miss one train, there is another one coming 6 months afterwards. And if your feature isn't completely perfect, you want to have user feedback, you may get a preview, you get user feedback. And you do this a couple of times if you have to. And this takes what used to be a singular point where you had to make decisions, like this is where the release gets done, breaks it away into actually a matrix across time. So you have plenty of time and space. You remove the overhead of managing the open source release part and can focus on development. And that's very important, because that's where really the fun is. On the other hand, the tail part is that, of course, users really like and enjoy having stable Java releases to work with, because one of the defining features of the platform is its stability, reliability, and predictability. So we at Oracle offer commercial support for long-term support releases, and we're not the only ones, so there are many others in the community. And so this model basically allows both development to happen very quickly, but also allows commercial users, for example, to actually invest into the platform. And they get security updates and critical fixes, and sometimes even more, but typically that's the focus of the platform. And when we did this 6 years ago, there was a lot of skepticism, both internally, so at Oracle, also internally in the wider OpenJDK community, because it sounded like a lot more work, actually, to release every 6 months. I mean, we knew how releases were. They were long and painful and never shipped on time, right? So that was weird. For example, we feared at Oracle we would end up having releases with nothing to ship. Will we actually have marquee features every 6 months? Is that going to matter? Well, change is hard. We fear change. But also in the broader ecosystem, people were skeptical. So you're doing release every 6 months? I mean, are they going to be any good? Isn't Java 8 what everything everybody ever will need? Why do more Java releases at all? I mean, so isn't like Groovy going to take over the world? Yeah, so that didn't quite happen. But nevertheless, so change is hard. And so people were really wondering about being overwhelmed and worried. And the one way how you actually fix this is to, well, do the cultural change and show that it works. And so we had to change our mentality when we developed the JDK to switch our mindsets, to basically go away from the way things were done before, to learning to embrace this change and not to panic about missing a train. It's okay, there is the next one. It's almost like the trains in Belgium, which seem to run fine, contrast to where I come from. There's always the next one. We don't try to overdo the tail. We don't try to backport everything to the JDK updates project. We just backport what we believe needs to be backported. So just the specific fixes required for security and stability, maybe platform support. Maybe every now and then there is something weird like new character sets or some date and time updates that have to be done. But that's roughly it, right? We don't try to make Java 8 in OpenJDK be the same as Java 21, because it's not. It's not going to be. People who use Java 8 don't care about it being Java 21. And so this lets us to philosophy of breaking down this big, big feature into small, tiny elements that can be delivered in 6 month increments, and removes a lot of the release management process to a point where it's basically invisible and things just flow along as they should be. And so this has worked out better than we hoped. The time for releases was slashed, the effort it took as well. The amount of work that had to be done on backports went significantly down as well. In particular, one thing that we embraced was the change of leadership in backports. Because back in the day, when I started doing JDK updates in 2011, we used to do those for many, many years with the Oracle OpenJDK maintainer team. We delivered Java 6 updates for, I think, 6 years, Java 7 for 5 years, I think 8 also for 4 or 5 years, I'm not sure. And so once we moved to this faster release cadence, it was clear to us, we can't just keep doing like 5 years of updates on every 6 months. That's just impossible, it makes no sense. Nobody's like going to embrace every one of those all the time. So what we did instead was to move to a model of actually transitioning responsibility in the community for the updates, where the Oracle maintainer team now takes care of the updates for the first 6 months. But then we pass on the responsibility to those in our community who are capable and willing of maintaining earlies further, like Andrew over there did for 8 and 11. And still does, yeah. So if you want to hear painful stories, ask him later. and others like Severing will do for 21. And this is also a painful thing to do in a community, because giving up responsibility requires, you know, courage. But we are fortunate enough to have been working as a community together for a long time now, that we have built up the trust to actually in processes to make these things work well. And I think they do. It also lets us deliver on Java itself and JDK itself more features faster, which is great. It makes developers happy. And this, of course, makes also our customers happy. JDK developers are happier because they have to spend so much time with our management. And so everybody benefits. And so we keep delivering features. In 21, as my colleague Aurelio Garcia de Ribeiro from product management team at Oracle says, we have four buckets that the features happen into, like language and libraries, performance and housekeeping and stuff. There is something for everyone, right? In the prior JDK release, there is even a bit more stuff that came in through this model. And if you compare with 11, there's actually a ton of stuff that happened in the past, since the past two LTS releases that is coming to the platform through this very, very quick development model. And altogether, like, you know, the time between 11 and 21 isn't that much longer than like an old release would have been overall. So this model not just works well in delivering stuff, it delivers a mass of things. And it delivers so predictably and regularly, and that's what makes it great. Then another thing that's important, 4 years ago, when we were here, we had the OpenJDK Committers Workshop in Brussels, where we talked about our tooling. We had just been going through the progress to update our tooling for JDK development, to move source code management from Mercurial systems that we used and hosted over to GitHub that now Microsoft hosts, and pretty much everybody uses. And that, of course, was also a change that required a bit of courage and also provided opportunity to define tooling that makes our jobs easier and that helps us manage the JDK coding changes coming in and keeps helping us. And we keep updating this tooling to help us with backports and so on. And so this is a powerful thing. It's not just about the mindset. It's about the embracing opportunity to actually change the things you do under the hood and to use the power of computers to make working on computers easier. And so these days, OpenJDK on GitHub is a pretty massive project. It has around, I think, 120 repositories, around 500 people are participating. And most importantly, the past 4 years have been the 4 years with the most changes going into OpenJDK ever in 4 year terms, which is like one US presidency. Just saying. So 2020, Trump was president, right? So 20, oh, never mind. So it's also the change that led to pretty much most OpenJDK contributors coming into the community. Because, of course, joining us through GitHub has been much easier than learning an unfamiliar a code system and trying to work around the idiosyncrasies of a very different contribution path for most of the other open source projects. So that has helped as well. Move OpenJDK forward as fast as it was. So what's the actual change that happened in the past 4 years then overall? Well, we've got faster and better at delivering the JDK. Java has been back in 2020, before the pandemic, one of the top choices for developers for programming, up there in the upper top right corner. And in the last survey from Redmonk of programming languages rankings, it has remained in the top right-hand corner as one of the most popular choices for developers on GitHub and on Stack Overflow. I'm not so sure about Stack Overflow anymore, because I think that's mostly a training site for generative AI these days. But, you know, the GitHub numbers, I think, are still fairly valid, and the GitHub service also buried out covers Java is very popular, and frankly, rightly so, because we keep, as a community, making it better and moving it forward. And just to as a point to that, in our JDK release blocks that Sharat, one of my colleagues, writes, we have this wonderful slides of the contributions into OpenJDK tip from since JDK 11 to 21. So it's like 10 JDK releases, that's like 5 years development. And of course, you can see there's a big red block of Oracle. As Java stewards, we do a lot. We have to do a lot, right? But it's not just Oracle. There's a lot of other parties participating in moving Java forward together. And one aspect I really want to emphasize here is that this little blue block over there, that's the independent developers that are not affiliated with Oracle or Red Hat or SAP. So those are people who don't work for any of these big companies. And they have, thanks to the move to GitHub, among other things, and now move so far forward in the contribution queue to actually make up, I think, the fourth largest block of contributors. And that's great. I mean, that tells you that we're doing something right in this community. So thank you to all of you who have actually contributed in the past, and hopefully we'll see a few of you join us and do interesting things in the next year. And speaking of interesting things, we have a bunch of projects going on in the community that are active, like Loom, we have Alan talking about later, like ZGC, Garbage Collector, Panama, Amber for language changes, Leiden, where we work on basically time shifting and time machines, and what a wonderful things for Java technology. Valhalla to make the JVM much faster and nimbler, and Babylon to make the Java more suitable for other weird deployment targets like GPUs. So we do a lot of weird things, fascinating things, and in particular, these are things where your feedback is very welcome, where your testing effort is very welcome, where your ideas are welcome. You can actually make a difference, where it's much easier to make a difference than, say, if you were trying to contribute to a JDK updates project, which is a bit of a meat grinder. I'll tell you that in a few minutes and why it is. But nevertheless, this is where you can really do stuff and have fun doing so. And to talk about these projects, in this very dev room, we'll have today myself and Jonathan Dowland, yeah, over there talking about JDK updates at 11:05 and at 16:40. We'll have Roman Kenke over here talking about Lilliput at 11:55. We'll have Maurizio Cimarabore talking about Project Panama. We'll have Alan Bateman talking about Project Loom. We'll have Phil, who you just saw on the stage, over there talking about Project Wayfield, along with Alexei and Niels. And we'll have Johannes over there talking about some of the work that's going on in HubSpot on SafePoints. So you have a chance to meet many of the people who work on the JDK here. If you haven't met them before, look around and ask around. You meet somebody who may be holding up your pet for review, as was in my case. Otherwise, enjoy the day, I would say. And thank you for coming, and thank you for being a part of this community. So this gives us 5 minutes to shuffle rooms if you want to, and then we move on with the next one.